memorized this one and you've memorized a whole verse of the Bible, a whole book, chapter of the Bible.
Great song. Father, once again, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your truth, which endures forever. And we're here, Lord, committing ourselves into your hands, trusting you for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, to teach us and to help us to assimilate and comprehend and understand the Hebrew language just for the stated purpose, Lord, that we might read your word as you delivered it to us originally. And so to that end, Lord, we ask that you would bless us. And Lord, that you would continue your loving kindness towards us and working in our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit, transforming us and conforming us to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ, bringing us into harmony and agreement with you and your word, your will, your plan, and your purpose for our lives. Lord, that you would continue to uphold us, to strengthen us, and to sustain us, to give us grace to live our lives in your presence day by day for your pleasure and for your glory. Lord, we acknowledge our weakness, our helplessness, our dependency upon you. We need you every moment of every hour and of every day. Lord, we commit ourselves and our lives and the circumstances of our lives into your hands. And we pray, Lord, that you would work in us and through us and for us as it pleases you. Lord, many of the circumstances that we encounter in our lives are overwhelming. They're perplexing. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you, committing these things into your hands, Lord, and asking you for your help and for your work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. I think we can do this with the recording too. Actually, there are two versions of this. One of them has English, and one of them, you know, because some of these songs, it goes back and forth from English to Hebrew. And I think this first one is all Hebrew, though, which is what I prefer. When I'm singing in English, a lot of times I'm singing it in Hebrew. I don't want to know it in English. But, you know, if you just concentrate on Hebrew, and you assimilate it a lot faster because your mind works on it, your mind is challenged. You know, but if you always have the English, you know, I don't know what it is. That's okay, but it kind of speeds up the whole process of learning if you just have Hebrew, which is what I really like about Dr. Booth is his recordings are all Hebrew and no English. Other resources, like I have vocabulary resources where they'll say the Hebrew word and then they'll say the English meaning. You know, and that has been helpful, but this way of learning with just having Hebrew, because it kind of forces you. It kind of forces your mind to work on it. And your mind's a wonderful thing. Your mind will work on it. Your mind will work towards understanding the meaning of what you're hearing and what you're seeing. Let's see.
Thank you.
So we see, hallelujah. That's an imperative. You praise. And then there's the direct object marker, et, Adonai. And in the Hebrew Bible, that is Yud Heh Vav Heh. That's the name of God. But in these music sheets, they don't use that. I imagine out of respect. Kol is all, and you know that that is Kamatatu, full class vowel, and it's because it's closed and unaccented, and it's joined together with this word, Kol Gohim. And usually, in most cases, that's the word that you're going to see, that O class. It's always O with Kol. Kol Gohim. All of the peoples. That's really, that's a construct. Smichut. We're going to, that's part of the lesson this week. Smichut. And that means the accent is on the end when in a construct and a smichut. So there's no accent. Kol Gohim, all of the nations, all of the peoples. Goi, you know, goi. That's it. This is the word right there. Shabachuhu kol ha'umim. And extol him. Again, another imperative. Extol him, all the peoples, all the nations, Gohim, all of the nations and all of the people. I mean, you could translate it that way. Ki Gavar, Ki is for Gavar. He is great. So that is that's a stative. He is great. Alenu. For great is his mercy on us. His mercy, hesed, chasdo, the holam vav, is a pronominal suffix, his. And this is, of course, a preposition, al, with the new pronominal suffix, which is either we or us. In this case, it's us, on us. For great. That is a stative verb. Great to on us is his mercy. Ve, vav, and emet, truth, Adonai, the truth of the Lord. That's another smichut. Leolam is forever. Hallelujah, Adonai kol gohim, shabachuhu kohu amim, ki gavar alenu chasdo, ve'emet Adonai leolam. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Okay.
Reason it went from something that I was able to understand a portion of to this week, I felt like this is like total gibberish to me.
Good.
And I was like, what is happening? I was feeling like I was getting a hold of it, and now it's like totally hard.
That is the state of learning.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the state of mind that you want to be in. Because that means you're being challenged.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, if you want encouragement, go back to Booth Part 1 and do the first lesson. Look at the, and you go, oh yeah, I understand all of this completely now. Before, when I first looked at it, it was all gibberish. That's all that, That's what I always go back to. I always go back to the beginning and to where I was when I started. Okay. I think we'll do this with the recording too. Kadosh. Because my voice is still tired. I had to work this weekend. Again, here you have a smichut construct. You have Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, the Lord God of hosts. You know, it's that of relationship. It's also, if you had an experience with Greek, it's the genitive relationship. It shows possession, or there are many other ways to translate it, but that's more advanced when you're looking at the grammar, but that's the simplest. And usually the easiest way to recognize it is that you have two nouns side by side. And usually, and I would say in many cases, and if not most cases, that when you see that, that's what you're looking at is a construct, a smichut. And also, as we discovered in the lesson this week, that you will notice that many of the words have a different spelling. They have a different, the vowels are different when it's in a construct. And the reason for that is because in a construct, the accent shifts. The accent shifts to the end of the final noun of the chain. And if you remember, we had that the lecture with the overheads last semester with the construct forms. If it's helpful to you, go back and review those charts. If not, hang on, because I think what I'm going to ask for is to be able to teach two classes in Hebrew and the Bible College next year, to teach this right here, but also to teach the grammar. And I will do that on, if I do that, I'll do that again on Saturdays. And I'm thinking about offering the other one during the week, like maybe one of the weekdays in the afternoon. For a lot of the kids that participate mainly in the Bible College during the day, to give them the opportunity, because who wants to come to class on Saturday except people that are really dedicated to learning Hebrew? Okay. We'll look at another one. And this one also has, it's pretty common. That relationship is pretty common. That smichut. You know, and that's the benefit of memorizing. And the music is also, is because you can see a lot of, in a more meaningful way, you can see the grammar, you know, that we're studying applied in the language. You can take what you know and you can see it and say, oh, yeah, that's what it is. That's what he's talking about. And it really helps to have a simple context, which is another one of the benefits that Dr. Booth has provided for us with his material, because he gives us a simple context for learning. And he it's a great emphasis of his that he gives us the vocabulary and the word forms and the grammar as we're going to encounter it in the Hebrew Bible. And I'll always keep that in mind. Although it's a modern Israeli pronunciation, everything that we're looking at is biblical Hebrew. That's what you're learning. That's what you're assimilating. And some of it you're picking up as you go along without even realizing that you're learning it. Because and I really like the fact that that there's a lot of repetition, and you're actually doing a little bit of review. You know, and he doesn't tell you that he's doing this. You're just doing it, and it's working its magic inside of you. All right. Adon Hachavod. There's a lot of See it here. Adon HaKavod, the Lord of Glory, Melech HaMelechim, the King of Kings, Shemesh Zedakha, Son of Righteousness. And you see two nouns side by side. And anytime the second one is definite, then the whole phrase is definite. Shemesh Zedekha, that's not definite, so it would be Son of Righteousness. Not the Son of Righteousness. Adon HaKavod, Melech HaMelechim, Shemesh Zedekha, Umarpe Biknafea. The Lord of Glories, the King of Kings, Son of Righteousness, Umarpe, and, you know, but we translate it with, because you have different translational values with the Vav, Umarpe Biknafea, and usually what you're doing is you're looking at what it says in Hebrew, translating it literally, and then you put it into English in a way that we would say it. And that's usually what the translators do. And here you go. Thou art the Lord of Glory. Thou art the King of Kings. Thou art the Son of Righteousness with healing in thy wings. And, but where is thou? Well, thou is not there. But you're singing it to God. It's implied. And, we won't sing this one, but Baruch Haba, Beshem Adonai. Beshem Adonai is right here. Baruch Haba, Beshem Adonai, in the name of the Lord. And if this was Yud Hey Vav Hey, that would be definite. Personal nouns are definite. So whether they have a definite article or not. So this would be the name of the Lord. Shem Adonai. Beshem Adonai. And if you go look inside the School of Ministry on the bulletin board, there's a construct there. Devar Adonai. Word of the Lord. And with the spelling difference. All right. Why don't everybody take out a piece of paper?
I love my notebook.
You did? Well, I don't feel so bad because I I left my thumb drive on my desk. I left my thumb drive on the desk, and I, because I created the quiz last night at home on my computer, and I took it out of the computer, I put it in a case, but I left it on the desk. Don't feel bad.
29.
Time just keeps marching on. Time marches on and waits for no man. I think I should stop the recording for the quiz. Okay, gather around, children. Okay, now we want to look at the dialogue a little bit more carefully. Let's see. This is page 156. I'll read through it, and then we'll work through the vocabulary together. Imi azar zolech hu navi elachim ninve nehapachet. Ela devre harada. Nata oznenu v'nishma'a ma'bathiv. Ra'atchem alta shemayma. Okay. And here in the Melim le'sicha, in sicha is a dialogue. Bat yareach. Just say it together. Bat yareach. Yareach. And it's another word for moon. And of course we know chodesh is moon. But yareach. Okay, then imi. M. Hazar. Zoech. Huzach, Hu Yizach, and then the line. Imi Hazar Zoech. Imi Hazar Zoech. And you notice that M is mother, and Imi is my mother. And it has the pronominal suffix that would indicate possession. Hazar, the foreigner. And he doesn't give us the word zar, but that's what it is. Hazar. And here we have the three forms, the present, the past, and the future of za'ach, zoech, za'ach, and yizach. Lamed Chet. Ha'em. Hu. Navi Elohim. Navi. Nevi. And he's not giving you any explanation, but this is where we're headed. This is the construct form, and you see this is the normal spelling of it, Navi. But in when it's in the construct, it's Nevi. And what has happened is what's called propertonic reduction. The comets has reduced to a vocal shava. because the accent is shifted to the second noun. And of course, you notice with Chaim, the article, this is a compensatory lengthening. The aleph cannot take the dagesh of the article, it rejects it, and it causes the patach under the hay to lengthen to a comment. Chaim, the mother. Okay, Lamed Tet. Ninveh, Nehepechet, Nehepach, Yehapech. And you see the three forms is being overturned, was overturned, and it will be overturned. And then the line, I'm sorry, we didn't do the line up here. Hu Navi Elohim. And that's a construct, Navi Elohim. Ninveh, Nehapachet. Ninveh, Nehapachet. And you have a picture of what's happening, he's saying is going to happen to Ninveh. Good to have a visual. And I always try to imagine something exaggerated whenever I'm working on just to reinforce the meaning of the words. Ella. This is Mem. Ella. Devri Harada. Divre Harada. Divre. And he explains, and this is what you will encounter. He does explain something, why one has a dagesh and the other doesn't. It's because what precedes it, if it's a vowel sound, it doesn't have a dagesh. If it's a consonant sound, it will have the dagesh. That's basically what he's saying. It's written without the dagesh if it follows the vowel sound from the preceding word. Okay, and you have to recognize that in Hebrew, in the original text, all the words are run together. There's no spaces, you know, and you don't have. So I mean, it's called scriptum continuum. And so when there's a vowel sound before it, there is no dagesh. And so he gives it to you, the normal way. And of course, this is a construct, and he's not telling you that yet. And then he explains the difference, you know. I mean, and how, because you know, with the other material that we use in the School of Ministry, they use this where they make a distinction between pronunciation with it when it has a dagesh and when it doesn't have a dagesh. And Dr. Booth, he explains that today there's no difference in pronunciation. And David, there was in David's time through the Second Temple period, and there was no difference or during that time. And that difference developed with the Masoretes. That was after the time of Jesus. You know, they're the ones that were responsible for giving us the vowel points. And so they give it the. It's just easy. But that's just an interesting note, and you will encounter that with some grammars that you work with, and some of the material that we work with. Like when you come back and we work through Pratico's grammar, that's the pronunciation system that he uses. But I prefer the modern Israeli pronunciation because most of the resources that are available for developing fluency with the language are with a modern pronunciation, like Dr. Booth's materials, the Hebrew songs that we sing, and the reading that I have of the Hebrew Bible. I have the reading of the entire Hebrew Bible, which had been originally broadcast on the radio in Israel, you know, and it uses a modern Israeli pronunciation. And I will show you that when we get to the third part, and we step it up, and we do some selected readings from the Hebrew Bible. But the next step after that would be to get a Hebrew-English parallel, and then begin reading through the Bible using the recordings. You know, and a great way to learn. So here we go. Devarim is the words. That's the plural form. Harada, fear and trembling. And as he says up here, English idiom might be, these are scary words. But these are words of fear. That's literally how you would render it. And you know, you encounter that a lot of times with the King James translations. They'll preserve that way of saying it, the word of the Lord. But you could also say the Lord's word, okay? Because it's showing possession. You could say words of fear, words of trembling, or you could say scary words, frightening words. Okay. So the line, Bat Yareach Ela Devre Harada. Ela Devre Harada. And it's plural. That's why he's given us the plural in the dialogue there. And when it's in construct form, the mem drops off. Okay, mem aleph, nate, huhita, huyate, oznenu, ozen, venishma'a, nishma, and hushama. Hu yishma. You see what's going on right here? Yishma. The noon is we. And this is a volitional, let us. Remember the let us conjugation? The cohortative, the jussive, and the imperative. Let us, nishma, okay? And you see this, you still see the three root letters of shema, shem, mem, and ein. You see them in there, nishma, and the comet's hay is the volitional hay. I don't know if you remember us talking about that when we talked about the imperatives, but many times, that is the way of recognizing that's what you're looking at. Let us hear. Let's listen. Let's listen to what he has to say. Nishma'a, and then you have the three forms, shema, and or two forms, and yishma. Just to show you the relationships of those words, and that you see the related meaning in each one of them. Hear. But you see the different inflected forms. And then we have Mabathiv. Mabathiv. And Piv is his mouth. Pei is mouth. Okay, in my mind, I'm pointing. Mabathiv, Pei, mouth. Okay, and the line. Nate oznenu benishma'a mabathiv. Oznenu benishma'a mabathiv. Nate oznenu benishma'a mabathiv. Okay. And membet. Ra'atchem. Ra, alta, ala, yale, shemaima. Okay. And here you have chem is the second masculine plural ending, chem. So you're evil, the masculine plural, you're evil. And ra is evil.
Is evil a feminine noun since the verb is feminine?
Well, that kamate would be a feminine ending. It probably is. And then you have this with the alta, shemaima, and you have the directional hey there, to heaven, with shemaima, because normally it's shemaim. Your evil has gone up to heaven. Yes, directional hey. What, Shemaim? Yeah, it might be a mistake. I think it should be a Shemaim. I don't know about the normal spelling is Shemaim. It's a dual. Shemaima. Shemaima. Maybe you have some changes there because of the ending. But normally it's a diphthong. It's patak, yud, and hirik. Shemaim. Alright. Ratchem alta shemaima. Ratchem alta shemaima. Okay, let's do it. Okay, Kathy, you can be about Yareach. And Julie, Haim. What? Well, go ahead, do Haim. And Carlton, you can be Yonah. Nano. Benishma'a. Ma'bethiv. Okay. All right. Mina. Bat Yareach. At Bat Yareach. And Kathy Chaim and Ani Yona Hechel. Go ahead. Ninve Nehapachet. Ratchem alta shemaima.
Those are scary words.
All right. Let's do it again. Okay, you can be Yonah.
Okay.
And Julie, Bat Yareach. And Carlton, Haim. Well, there's only...
Mother.
Happy Mother's Day. Okay. Ani bat yareach. Did you already do Chayim? You did all three parts, huh? Okay. Did Yona? Yona? At Yona? Ani bat yareach. Nina? Chayim. Ha'em. Yes. Okay. Hechel. Imi Hazar Zolech.
Hu Nabi Elohim.
Ninve Nehapachet. Nehapachet. Pechet. Sorry. Ela Divrei Charada. Nishma'a. Ma b'fiv. Yona. Ra'atkem alta shemayma. Yes. Okay. So, that's your initial exposure, and he introduced you to a few smichut constructs, so that you should have been familiar with them by the time you get to them. And here's the first track, Yemi Hazar Zolech. Okay, Melim. I'll say it, and then just repeat it after me. Hanavi, Hanavia, Zoechet, Hagibor, Yish, Hamilchama, Yish, Milchama, Haoev. Okay. Imi. Hazar Zoech. Hanavi. Imi. Hanavi Zoech. Hanavia. Imi. Hanavia Zoechet. Because it's a female. That's why he introduced you to that word, because it's feminine. Feminine ending. Hagibor. Imi. Hagibor Zoech. Ish Hamilchama. Imi Ish Hamilchama Zoech. Hayoev. Imi Hayoev Zoech. Okay. Now there's the Smichut. Okay. So you see that in the last drill there were two nouns together, and we've seen many of them already today. The two nouns, ish hamilchama, the man of war. There is no word for of, but the article, it goes with the last word in the phrase, literally, man of the war, That would how you would literally translate it, but which equals in English either the man of war or the man of the war. So when a Hebrew speaker wants to qualify a noun with another noun, they may simply add the second noun. In English, people add the preposition of. So when you see two nouns side by side, Hebrew will often use such a chain of nouns where English prefers an adjective. For example, davri harada, words of trembling, is a good Hebrew style, while in English, it would be more natural to use scary words, which is what I pointed out to you earlier. In many cases, Hebrew, the first noun may shorten or change in order to show that it's connected to the following word. So you'll see some spelling changes. The word will be shortened or the vowels will change because of that relationship. In many cases, the Hebrew, the first noun, oh, I just read that. Notice the changes of davar, word, and navi. And then these were also on the recording. So you have davar, and davar ish. You see, notice the spelling changes. That's the normal. Davar is the normal spelling, and davar ish is the construct form. Then you have navi and navi Elohim, which we already seen. And then you have devarim. This is the plural. Devarim. Devari ish. You see the changes? The mem is dropped. The hirik is lengthened to a sere. The comments is changed to a vocal shava. And because you can't have two vocal shavas in a row, the vocal shava has changed to a hirik. But you notice that all the consonants are the same. The vowels have changed. All the consonants are the same. You just drop the mem in the construct form. And then you have the plural Nevi'im. Nevi. Nevi'e Elohim. Nevi'e Elohim. Prophets of God. And if that was the name of the Lord, you could say the prophets of God. The prophets of the Lord. You know, if it was in the Hebrew Bible, it might be Yud Hey Vav Hey. That would be considered to be definite. You know, and I think that I want to look at that. No, because the first one won't be, it will never have an article. If the last one has an article, then the first one will have an article in the translation. But you never see the article on the first noun in the construct, in the smeru. Okay, so in the singular forms, the words are shortened by dropping out or shortening one or more of the vowels. Okay, that's what we saw happening in the plural. They drop the final consonant and further shorten their vowels. Okay, so you see all these vowel changes, and it's because the accent has shifted. That's really the main reason. You have what's called propretonic reduction. And when nouns are joined together in such an of relationship, they're called a smechut. And smechut, it means contact, it means construct. I think it also means association, something to that effect. I don't know the literal rendering of it. But in Hebrew grammars, this is called a smichut. And I always refer to it as smichut construct. So you got both of them there. That's the idea. It's the of relationship, the genitive relationship. So here we go. When the smichut is used with the article the, A speaker only puts an article on the last Hebrew word. The whole phrase is then considered definite. If the last word is a proper name or has a pronoun ending, pronominal suffix, then the phrase is also considered definite. So three possibilities. And even though there is no definite article used anywhere in the phrase, if it's a proper name, it's definite. If it has a pronominal suffix, it's definite. If it has a definite article, it's definite. The whole chain. And even when a chain of smechut nouns is more than two words long, only one article will be used at the end of the chain. And then he's given us all of these examples. And let's read through some of them. Hadavar. Devar Hanavi. Devar Chaish. Devar Yonah. And you see how in the translation, the word of Jonah, because Jonah is a proper name. Devar Elohim. The word of God.
It's funny how they have the hay on Elohim.
Yeah.
This example, and they didn't on the other page.
Yeah. Well, because a lot of times in the Hebrew Bible, when it does have the article, it's referring to the God,
uh-huh.
the true God. But this is just to show you the relationship of the in the smechut construct, and you might consider that to be a proper noun in some context. And you're right, that's interesting. Devar Navicha Elohim. The word of the prophet of God. Or of the God. The God. And then you have one with the pronominal suffixes. Devar Navio. Devar Naviav. The word of his prophet and the word of his prophets. Naviav. Okay, and then we have plural. Hadvarim. Hadavarim, sorry. Devri Hanavi. Or Devre, sorry. Devre Chaish. Divrei Yonah, Divrei HaElohim, Divrei Navi, Divrei Navi HaElohim, it all goes together. Divrei HaNavio, Divrei Naviav. Then it just gives you further examples, the feminine forms. And here are some that we've already learned. Devrei Harada, Yarkatei Chasfina, remember that one? Rav Chesed, of great grace, or a great mercy. Me'e Hadag, Beten Shaul, Nefesh Chaish. You see, these are some that we've already been that we've already encountered, and so he says in the next drill you meet Lavush Haaderet, Lavush Haaderet. Leather coat, a coat of leather. Okay. Now, let me close this down and open this one. Oops, sorry. Look at this. All right, now here is the handout that I had given you previously. If you still have it, go back and look at it. This is the construct chain. And this is, and you see it here because he breaks it down. I just want to work through this a little bit. The second noun is called the absolute noun. It's the one that controls the construct chain. And the first one, or any that are before it, is the construct noun. This is called the construct chain, or the smachut. And it shows the possessive relationship. The absolute form of the singular noun is also the lexical form. Okay, that's what you will find if you looked up melech in the Hebrew Bible. Okay, so here's some examples. Kol ha'ish. You can say it with me if you want. Kol ha'ish. Melech ha'eretz. Eved Hamelech Devar Hanavi. Oh, we just saw that one. Sefer HaTorah. The Book of the Law. Yes, those are some examples. The second of the two nouns in each chain is the absolute noun, okay? The first is the construct noun. That's important because of the spelling changes, you know, and to recognize the difference between the lexical form and the construct form. Now, here he explains about this chart shows us the differences between definite and indefiniteness. So if the absolute noun is definite, the whole phrase is definite. And if the absolute noun is indefinite, then the whole phrase is indefinite. And here you have Sefer Hanavi and Sefer Navi. It's a book of a prophet, no article. The book of the prophet, article. Or you could also say the prophet's book, okay? Or a prophet's book. He's showing possession. But the of is probably the best way to render it for now. But technically, you could show possession with an apostrophe S. I mean, you know, because that's what we would do in English. We're used to saying the word of the Lord came to Jonah or came to Jeremiah or, you know, we're used to saying phrases like that because we've read it in the Bible. But you could say the Lord's word came to Jonah. I mean, and it would be perfectly good. But because it carries that meaning. Okay. And then this chart shows the noun. Oh, yeah, this is what I pointed out to you, the three different circumstances in which the absolute noun is has an article. If it has an article, it's articulate. Okay, that's obvious. But also, if it has the pronominal suffix, and here you have avi, my father, with the hirig yud is the pronominal suffix, and so that would be the house of my father, or my father's house, and. Shmuel is a proper name. So if it's a proper name, it's considered definite. The servant, Eved Shmuel, the servant of Samuel. And then we have a few examples of multiple. Just to show you what I was talking about, you know, if the absolute noun is definite, then the whole phrase is definite. Eved Achi Hamelech, the brother, the servant of the brother of the king. Okay? That's how, and you could have I think in the Hebrew Bible there might be, you could have three, you could have four, you could have five nouns in a construct. And I think that there is one where there's five. You know, it would be something like the servant of the brother of the king's sisters, you know, so on and so on. You know, I mean, it's a big, long one. But it just shows the relationship. Okay, Eved Beit Hamelech. Yeah, that's just what these words are showing. And then this is not something that Dr. Booth has introduced us to, but you can have attributive adjectives, and they will follow the construct, and depending on whether when an attributive adjective modifies either a construct noun or the absolute noun, it must follow the entire chain and it must agree with the noun it modifies in gender, number, and definiteness. Okay? The good king of the land, Melech Haaretz Hatov, so Hatov is modifying the king, Melech. Okay, it agrees in definiteness because in a construct chain it's considered definite, and it agrees in number, singular, and it agrees in gender because Melech is masculine, Haaretz is feminine. So you know that it doesn't go with Haaretz. And you see that in the second example, Melech Haaretz Hatova. And Kamate, you've learned, is the feminine ending. And this cannot modify Melech because it's feminine and Melech is masculine. So it must modify Haaretz, which is feminine. You memorize it. You memorize, you know, there are some feminine nouns that don't have feminine endings, okay? And you do. You learn it by memorizing it, you know, like when you're memorizing your vocabulary, but you learn it from a context like this right here. So you already know that Melech is masculine. So it must modify Haaretz. And you learn it because of adjectives or because of the relationships of other words in the context that shows you that it's feminine. And that's how they determine that it's feminine. But by memorizing it too. As we do with the basics of Biblical Hebrew, and we memorize the lexical forms. Sometimes there may be some ambiguity. You don't know which, because you have two masculine nouns, so you don't know which one it's going to modify. And the broader context is what helps you to determine. Devar Hamelech Hatov, it could be the good word of the king, or it could be the word of the good king. You don't know just by looking at this right here. You have those two different possibilities. And the same thing here. Eved Hanavi Chara, the evil servant of the prophet, or the servant of the evil prophet. Makes a big difference, though, doesn't it? But the broader context is what's going to help you. We'll look at the demonstrative adjectives. And this right here, the spelling changes. This is what I was telling you. Some of them, there's not going to be any change between the construct form and the lexical form. And here are the absolute, which is the lexical form. Sus will be Sus. Melech will be Melech. No change. Okay? But these, many of these will. Devar, the vowels will reduce. Propretonic reduction. Because, as I pointed out, the accent has shifted to the absolute noun. So these vowels reduce. The The comments reduces to a patach, and the comments reduces to a vocal shavah. Torat, Torah becomes Torat. And we've also learned that the tav is a feminine ending. In a construct, the hey becomes a tav. And the comments is shortened to a patach. And av and avi, father of. In a construct form, it has. That's the shape that the... and I think Dr. Booth does have a section on that, so we'll save that discussion when we get to that part of it. So when you pull this out, you can study the differences between these are some of the changes that take place, and they're consistent, they're predictable, and it's those vowel changes that show you that they're in a construct relationship. And comments changes to patach and a final closed syllable. That's what we see here with mishpat. Still pronounced mishpat, but the vowel, the comments has changed to a patach. Or comments or seri changed to a vocal savah and an open unaccented syllable. Shalom becomes shalom. It's because it's unaccented and it's open. The accent has shifted to the absolute noun. Shalom. Shalom, shalom. Makum, makum. Okay, then both of the rules, they may apply to the formation of a noun in the construct state, like davar and davar. So you have two that have reduced. And levav, levav. Levav and levav. And then monosyllabic nouns with changeable long vowels. The long vowels may reduce to the corresponding short vowels. So, ben, it will become ben. Kol becomes kol. So the holom changes to the comets. And it's still, this is a comets atuf. Because always in the construct form, as I was pointing out to you earlier, that's where you're going to encounter it because it's closed and it's unaccented. Kol. Then in the construct chain, the spelling of nouns in the construct state, masculine, plural, dual. Okay, so here you have, this is the Sere Yod, the im or the im drops off, and Sere Yod replaces it, okay, in the construct form. So Elohim becomes Elohe, Banim becomes Benay. A naim becomes a ne. Devarim becomes divare. We saw that. And you see it there. Devarim, devare, divare. Then the spelling of nouns in the construct state with a feminine nouns ending in a comate, and then that's what he's showing you. That comate will change to a patak tav. This is consistent. Torah, torat. Melacha, melachat. Shana, shana. And the construct. The plural. Okay, nothing changes there. The plural that retains the plural ending, and but you still may have some vowel reduction because the accent shifts. Seres will change to a vocal shavah. Comments will change to a vocal shavah. And like The last one, Berachut, becomes Berachot. Because you can't have two vocal shavas in a row. The first shava is vocal. And the second one would be the comments is reducing to a vocal shava, Berachot. Okay, here we go. This is where I saw it. I was thinking Dr. Booth, but common. This is a common. Certain singular monosyllabic nouns add the hieric yod to their stem in the construct state. Don't confuse the hieric yod with the first common singular pronominal suffix. Avi, my father. Okay. This is the construct. It would be Avi, father of. Achi, brother of. And it's a reduced vowel, the hatef vowel, hatef patach. It's the comments is reduced. And you remember I told you that to think about the hatef vowels as composite shavas. So the comments is reducing to a vocal. It would reduce to a vocal shava. Except this is a guttural, and gutturals won't take a vocal shava, but they will take the hatef vowels. So you think about that as a composite shava, avi, achi. And the diphthong does the same thing. The diphthong will always change to a seri yod. Bait becomes bait. Ein becomes ein. And then what's Segolit nouns? You remember Segolit nouns? The accents on the beginning of the word? Okay. And in a construct state, they don't change. I mean, that stays the same. You still have an accent on the beginning of the word. And that's what this chart is showing you. The plural, however, will exhibit some changes. The eem ending drops off, and it becomes a seri yod. With other spelling changes. And then the spelling of nouns in the construct state with nouns that end in segol hay. And I think that we will see this in Dr. Booth's materials, but the segol hay changes to a seri hay. And that's the basic change. That's the basic change there. It's reducing. Oh, then you apply the vowel reduction. Then that's it. That's it. So if you have those charts, review those charts. That'll help you understand a little bit more about the construct forms. Then why don't we take a break? Well, I hope that helped you.
Thank you.
With a smachut.
Perfect. Do you know where it was centered?
La Habra.
Oh, La Habra. Wow, close.
Wow. Yeah. Some said 5.4.
From 5.4 to 5.1. And just jumping.
Okay, we're back on live. Okay, I'm looking this over. And that is one of the main points that grammar points of this chapter. And you see that being reinforced in a lot of the exercises. And I'm going to skip going through those together with you. Please do that as much as you can. You know, just keep moving forward. The main thing is to keep moving forward, okay? Go on to the next chapter. And if you want to review some of the previous chapters, feel free to do that. The more you do, the more you'll benefit from it. But if the grammar explanations aren't clear, the footnotes aren't clear, don't worry about that. Don't let that hang you up. Don't feel that you have to have a perfect understanding of everything that's happening. Just keep listening to the recordings, and you'll be picking up Hebrew. You'll be picking up grammar as you're going along. And you'll see, and sometimes you'll have these aha moments. But I want to look at this one. This is, it's called passive adjectives. But in Hebrew, these are also known as passive participles. Okay, it's just that some grammars, they have just different ways of labeling these particular kinds of words, because participles, they do function as adjectives. Okay, so there's some crossover there. But that vowel pattern, the comet's Shurik Paul, that is, and then you have the Nifal, which is the passive participle. Also, you have a passive participle, and then you have this, what's called, what Dr. Booth is identifying as a passive adjective, but it is a passive participle. It can be thought of that way. And many adjectives in Hebrew have that 3MS past tense based on the Paal pattern. That's what we've been learning. These verbs will usually have an adjective pattern that is Paul. And he tells you a little bit later on in the chapter that it also can be thought of as a passive participle. And these adjectives are completed states and may be called perfect passives. So consider the following lists, and we can work through these. Zakhar, Zakhor, Harag, Harug, Atam, Atum, Hafach, Hafuch. See, there is no person, gender, or number with the second one with the passive participle. I keep saying passive participles because that's just what we discovered not too long ago. But you see, it's just the basic meaning of the verb, the basic verbal meaning, without any reference to a subject. Okay. And so here we go. Shabar, Shavur. He broke and broken. We should do Hafak, because that was from the Hafak, Hafuch. Okay. Hu Shavar et Hachad. Akad Shavur. He broke the pot, and the pot is broken. And you can see how the relationship, it could be broken pot, which he has in the next one. Akad Hashavur, the broken pot. That's an adjectival relationship. Katav and Katuv. Katav? Katuv. So these pa'ul forms are like adjectives, and sometimes they're called cal perfect passive participles. Okay, and the following, and they have the following shapes in the singular and in the plural. So we'll just shavur, shuvarim, shavur, shuvare, and these would be constructs, shmechut. See, shmechut, and he puts that that dash there to show you that it's related to another word. Okay, and here you go, and here you have it in a construct form, shavur lev, broken of heart, broken hearted, shavuri lev, broken of heart. Their hearts are broken. So you see that relationship, and that's basically what he's discussing here in this grammar point, that particular pattern. And it's used as an adjective. It's also called a passive participle. And you see the you could study the other examples. And now here he has a comparison with a nifal. The participle nifal is slightly different in meaning from the pa'ul. Okay, the nifal participle generally refers to an action that was still in process. And here you go, hasefer. Odenu, Hachatav, Hamalach, Ba. The letter was still being written and the messenger came. And here you with a Pa'ul, it refers to a state that was or is already completed, already achieved. Vayikra Hamelech Sefer Katuv Amaret. The messenger and the messenger read the letter in Aramaic. Okay? Katuv. The letter written in Aramaic. The endings of the Nifal and the Pa'ul are like adjectives, also participles. And notice that the comments vowel distinguishes the masculine singular participle nishbar from the 3MS past tense nishbar. So the batach is the third masculine singular past tense form. And these are nifal. Remember we looked at those previously. And this is the participle form. Remember, you remember that? We pointed that out with the participle form. It's comments. And with the third masculine singular past tense form, it's patak. So you have nishbar. Nishbara or nishberet. And nishbarim. Nishbarot. And then he reinforces that in the drills. And we want to go down to the next point. And this one, this particular grammar point is referring to the what's called the temporal modifier, and it sets the context of the passage in the past tense or in the future tense, whichever one is referred to, and a structure in drill 12, haya plus the participle, okay, and that's he introduces you to it in the form, and then he gives you a basic explanation of it. It refers to something that occurred in the past, and it specifies that it was continuous or happening over and over. That's also called iterate, or else in some way was in process or was unfinished. For example, Haya Ole. He or it used to go up, or he or it was continually going up. It could be either way. The idea is that he used to do that all the time, or it was happening all the time. He was going up. He used to go up, or he used to go up all the time. The structure haya plus the participle specifically marks the past time. Okay, see, it's a tense modifier. It sets the context. Haya sets the context in the past tense. It specifically marks past time and a continual, ongoing situation. When a past context is already clear in a story, then the participle by itself, without haya, may be used to specify an existing, simultaneous, continual situation. Such a structure is common. And you will encounter that when we get to the book of Ruth. And here you go. Vaitira ki metamet hi. The participle metametzet refers to the same time as the context. And so see the examples below. In addition, the future tense is also used to specify repeating open-ended events in past context. So you can see, and this is something that's called a past habitual. So you can see that verbs in Hebrew are a lot different than they are in English. You can use verbs in Hebrew in places that you can't use English verbs. So yale means he used to go up or he would go up when this tense is used within a past context, okay? And in biblical narratives, it's called the past habitual. And past in-process events is more common than the time mark structure, haya plus the participle. So by chance, there are no examples of that in Jonah or Ruth. But they are in the Bible. And here you have some examples from the Bible. Haya ro'e, he was shepherding. Or hayu melachatim, they used to gather up. And vayahi tochen, he used to grind. And haya oseh, he was doing. So it's describing, you see what it is? It's describing an ongoing action in the past. And I think the simpler forms like haya ro'eh, he was shepherding. And hayu melchatim, they used to gather up. So it was something that they were doing all the time in the past. The participle by itself as a simultaneous past description. Vayavou, velot, yoshev, Besair Sadim. They came, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. So it's a simultaneous action. It's a participle. Remember, it's participles are considered to be present tense, but they're also considered to be a continual action. And so they came, Vayavu. Okay, they came, Velot, and Lot. Yoshev was sitting. Your supplying was, but he was sitting. Be'Sha'ar Sodom, in the gate of Sodom.
Yeah, that's it.
And then you have the example, second example from Judges. U-Menoach Ve-Ishto Roim. And Manoah and his wife were watching. In the future tense and the sequential future tense, the forms for continual or habitual in context. And you see the same thing being referred to. This is a past tense. The time is in the past, but it's describing an event that happened continually in the past or habitually in the past. It was happening all the time in the past. Ed Ya'aleh. Water used to go up. Vayishcha. And used to water. Yishchu. They used to water. Ya'asu. They used to do. See this? In order to learn this, to become better acquainted with it, you need to read long stretches of the Hebrew narrative, and that's where we're headed. Okay? So a lot of it, this is your introduction, but a lot of it you will really learn as you begin to read through texts and you see how it works. So by the time you've worked through a book like Genesis, then you should have a pretty good grasp on it because it's pretty common there. And he points out that in modern Hebrew, haya plus the participle is still used for past and process events, but future tense verbs are no longer used in either Mishnaic Hebrew or modern Hebrew for past and process events. So that's a difference. That's something that we need to learn in order to read the Bible. Now we want to look at the Bible memory verse. And Deuteronomy 6:9. Final verse. Okay, let's work through the Milim and then we'll do the phrases. That's what I like, because he breaks it down in phrases, thought units, rather than bare vocabulary. Okay. Ukshartam. Ukshartam. Katav. Yiktov. Am. Mezuzot. Mezuzah. Betecha. Betcha. Uvisharecha. Uve. Sharim. Sha'ar. Okay. So we have some smichuts here. Ukshartam, and you should write them. Uksharta, I was thinking of this one right here, Ukshartam. Uktavtam. Thank you. I lost my way. Yeshli chol bepe. Vekatavta. Vekatavta. I already said it right. Vekatavta. And katav, yiktov. You get the past and the future. And the am. Okay. Mezuzot and mezuzah. So that is a construct. Doorpost stuff. And he shows you that in the simple meaning. Mezuzot. And this is what we looked at. How the hay will... Well, this is a plural ending. This is one singular, mezuzah. And and ot is the plural, doorposts. Mezuzot. And betecha, of your house. And that is, he points out, is a puzzle form. Betcha is the regular form. Betecha. So it slows it down to show you that you're at the end of the phrase. Remember that the puzzle forms is what they would use in lieu of punctuation. And so the phrase is, Uktavtam al mezuzot betecha. Al mezuzot betecha uvisharecha. Uktavtam al mezuzot betecha uvisharecha. And you know what the mezuzah is? That they put them on the doorpost? Well, that's what it's referring to. That's why they do it. Because of this right here. And what is in mezuzah is the Shema. What we're learning right here. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. And just as a reminder. Okay. And here you have the unpointed text. Follow along. We'll do it phrase by phrase. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha ve'chol lavavecha uv'chol nafshecha uv'chol meodecha ve'hayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anochi Mitzvacha Chayom Alavavecha Ukshartam. Wait, I'm sorry. Veshinantam Levenecha Bedibartabam Veshivtaka Bevetecha Uvlechtaka v'derech Ushopecha Uvkomeka Ukshartam le'ota yedeka. There it is, there's my word. Ukshartam le'ot al yedecha Vehayu letotafot ben anecha. Ben anecha. Uktaptam al mezuzot betecha visharecha. Putting it all together. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, ve'chol lavavecha, uv'chol nafshecha, uv'chol meldecha. Ve'hayu hadvarim ha'ele, asher anoki mitzvacha hayom, al lavavecha. Ve'shinantam levenecha, ve'dibata bam, ve'shivtecha bevetecha, uv'leftecha v'derek, uv'shopecha, uv'komecha. Ukshartam le'ot ayadecha, Vechayu letotofot ben enecha, uktavtam al mezuzot betecha visharecha. Vehavta lerecha kamoka, ani Adonai. And we'll get to that. That's one of the memory verses later on. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And in this drill, he introduces you to a form that we'll be learning later, the Hitpael. And this is a pretty common word to pray. Hitpael. Yitpalela.
Oh, yeah, and
yeah, because it's a visual, volitional hey, and it's an imperative. Let me see where.
I see it in the drill. Well, I don't see.
You hear it though. You can see that that's where it's coming. That's what the word is.
Yeah.
Yitpalel. Titpalelu, titpalalna, yitpalelu. Yeah, the noon is us, let us. It's an imperative. Let us pray. It's a cohortative. Third person or first person. The imperative is a second person, and the jussive is a third person. A volitional form. Okay. And you know, you are right. I mean, the drills in this chapter are a little bit more complicated than before, but you know, the whole point is to challenge you.
Sure.
To give you that little extra push. If your brain's not hurting, you ain't doing it right. Okay?
Yeah, we didn't. Well, a long word is more than two or three syllables. That's a long word.
Yeah.
This would have long words in it.
Plus, I felt like they were speaking faster.
But you're right. I'm getting smart.
Okay, let's do the. Let me read it for you first, okay? And then we'll work through it. Vayehi devar Adonai el Yonah shenit lamor. Kum lech elinve hayir hadala ukra elea et hakriya asher anoki dover alecha. Vayachom Yonah vayelech el Ninve kidvar Adonai. Beninve chaita ir gadala le'olachim. Mehalach shloshet yamim vayachel yona levo ba'ir mehalach yom echad vayikra vayomar od arbaim yom beninve nehepachet vayaminu Anshe ninve be'elohim ve'yikru'u zom ve'ilvashu sachim Yegadalim Beyad Katana. Kof Yud Aleph. Vayahi. Devar Adonai. Nice construct form right there. El Yonah. Shanit. Lemor. And that is an infinitive construct. Now the line, first verse actually. Vayehi devar Adonai el Yonah shenit lamor. Vayehi devar Adonai el Yonah shenit lamor. Okay. Kof Yud Bet. Kum lech. Two imperatives. El Ninveh. Hayir Hagdala. And if you notice that Hagdala, the adjective, is feminine, so Yir is feminine. Hayir Hagdala, the great city. Okay, now the line. Kuf Yud Bet. Kum lech el Ninveh hayir hadala. Kum lech el Ninveh hayir hadala. Okay. Ukra. Hukara. Huyikra. Alea. Et Hakriya Asher Anochi Dover Lecha. Okay, do the line. Kuf Yud Gemo. Ukra Elea. Et hakriya asher anoki dover alecha. Ukra alea et hakriya asher anoki dover alecha. Okay. Kuf Yud Dalet. Vayachom or Vayacham. Vayacham, Hukam, Huyakum, okay. Vayacham Yona, easy one. Vayacham, so Jonah did, this time Jonah's doing what God told him to do. Kuv Tet Vav. Vayelech, Huchalach, Yelech, Kidvar Adonai. Okay, now the line. Kuvtet Vav. Vayelech El Ninveh, Kidvar Adonai. Yes. No translation necessary. Kuftet Zain. Veninve Haita. Ve Haita. Ir Gedala. Le'alochim. Mahalach. Shloshet Yamim. Okay. Kuv Tet Zayin. Ve Ninveh Chaita Ir Gedala Le Elohim Mahalak Shloshet Yamim. Yonah Chaita Ir Gedala Le Elohim Mahalak Shloshet Yamim. Okay. Kuv Yud Zayin. Yachel. Hu Hechel. That's why you hear me say Hechel. Begin. That's what it means. Start. Hu Yachel. Lavo. Ba. Yavo. Bayir Mahalak Yom Achad. Okay, Kof Yud Zayin. Vayechel Yona Levo Bayir Mahalak Yom Achad. Vayechel Yona Levo Bayir Mahalak Yom Achad. And we can just do these lines without looking down. Vayikra. Vayomar. You see the sequential tense right there? You see this. And remember we learned that with the Vav, Patak, and Dagesh? This is a sequence of events that's being described here. And he cried, and he said, and now we're going to get to his message. Kuf Kaf. Od Arbeim Yom. Veninve Nehepachet. Nehepach Yehepach. Oh, well, hu nepach, hu yehepech. Okay, now the line. Jonah's message. Kuf kaf. Od arbeim yom venin ve nehepachet. Arbeim yom venin ve nehepachet. Okay, we'll see their response. Vayaminu He'amin. Hu He'amin. Hu Ya'amin. Anshe Ninve. Anshe. Anashim. Be'elohim. Okay, you see the construct form there? Anshe Ninve. And you see what happened with the ending? How it dropped off and the vowels changed? This is what we were talking about in the charts. Anshe Ninveh. And you see, you hear the accents at the Ninveh and not on Anshe? Anshe Ninveh. You're saying it like one word. One accental unit. Now let's do the line. Vayaminu Anshe Ninveh Be'elohim. Anshe Ninveh Be'elohim. That's a good response. It's not the response that Jonah wanted, though. Vayikruzom. I'm sorry. Kuf, kaf, bet. Vayikruzom. Vayikra'u. Zom. And then the line. Kuf, kaf, bet. Vayikra'u zom. And you see how it has that makif, that little dagesh. I mean, not the dagesh, but the dash. It's called a makif. It joins them together. Vayikra'u zom. They call the fast. And then, kuf, kaf, gamel. Vayilbashu. Lavash. Yilbash. Sorry. Sachim. That's sackcloth. Megdolam. Gedolam. Gadol. Ve'ad katanam. Ad katanam kana katan katon. You remember that word, don't you? From the greatest to the smallest, from the least to the greatest, from the greatest to the least. Okay. Kuf kaf gemel. Vayilbashu sachim migdalim ve'ad katanam. Vayilbashu sakim migdolam vayad katanam. Okay, let's then follow along as I read through one more time. Vayahi dvar Adonai el Yonah shanit lamor kum lech el Nineveh hayir hadala. Ukra elea et hakriya asher onoki dover alecha. Vayakom Yona vayelech el Nineveh kidvar Adonai. Ve Nineveh chaita ir gadala le Elohim. Mehalach shloshet yamim. Vayachel Yona levo ba'ir mahalach yom akad. Vayikra vayomar od 40 yom ve'ninve nehepachet. Vayaminu anshe ninve be'elohim. Vayikra'u zom vayilbashu sachim megdalam ve'ad katanam. Now, I hope that as you're reading it, you're beginning to understand it, you know, without the English translation, because you're assimilating the meaning as you work through the vocabulary. Keep working on it. Okay. And then next week, let's see. Number 8, Sicha Chet. Hefil, another verb form. An important one. And that's it. That's the only grammar, only one grammar point. Okay, let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for your great love and your great, great mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us, but that you're with us always, even to the end of the age. And Lord, we come to count upon you and upon your presence in our lives and the careful watch that you keep over us. And Lord, we also remember before you Julie. We ask that your good hand would be upon her. Lord, that you would touch her, that you would heal her, that you would strengthen her body. We commit her and these health issues into your hands, and we're asking you, Lord, to take care of it. Because the doctors, they need wisdom, they need guidance, but Lord, we need your careful oversight. And so we ask you for that in her life, Lord. And continue to bless us and to help us to learn Hebrew, to assimilate it, that we might have a meaningful experience with the Scriptures and with you, to discover you, Lord, in all your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.